The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
What's up, DC? Welcome to Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan on this holiday. Hope everybody is doing well. Ben Standig here on the mic. They've been using me a lot this week. I'm definitely hitting all my snaps, reps, clauses in my fake contract three times in 4 days, which is super fun for me. Glad to be here with you until 10 o'clock. We got our guy Wes behind the glass to guide me through. Excited to be here with you guys. I know you guys just had Steve Zabin and Nick Ashew on. Wild to be following Steve Zabin. I walked in and half joked, why is the opening act going before the headliners? Because I have, like all of you, listened to Zabe for years and years and years. I've met Zabin a few times in the past, just not very often because, you know, I was doing not this type of stuff in my work life when he got out of town. But it's great to see Zabin and listen to those two guys coming in. We've got a bunch to get to here. Obviously, the Olympics are still going on. We're going to talk some Wizards and NBA All-Star Weekend in the 9 o'clock hour with Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports. We'll dig into some Commanders, of course, both at 7 with John Dorian from WUSA 9, and then at 8 o'clock, Mitch Tischler from Monumental Sports. But we've got some, it's tangential related to the Commanders, and that is, we're going to talk about the Miami Dolphins. And you might be like, yeah, what are we doing here? Why are we talking about a team that is the only thing that they haven't been really relevant since like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, which is, I've not watched that in years, but good stuff there. Well, we're doing this because the Dolphins didn't wait until right before free agency next month or even before the combine next week to start making some moves. They, of course, have a new regime, new head coach, new GM. And they have decided we are just getting out of the business here of some of these expensive players that we have. And they release a few guys today. But two of them are particularly interesting for Washington, not only because they are big names, but because they are exactly the two positions that Washington needs. One of those positions, of course, is a playmaking wide receiver. And if I tell you playmaking wide receiver, Tyreek Hill's name is going to come up very, very quickly on that list. Arguably the fastest guy in the league, at least he was before having a pretty significant leg injury last year. Dolphins, again, Tyreek Hill was making, he signed a 4-year, $120 million extension in 2022. He didn't have any guaranteed money left on his deal coming to 2026, but he had like a $51 million cap hit. So Miami moved on from him, so be it. Now, we don't know when Tyreek Hill is going to be able to play again. I don't know that that's been made clear today. He is 31. He's dealing with the injury. But if he's actually can play at some point, I mean, if we're just talking about what does Washington need on offense, forget that he's a, you know, a Pro Bowl level player when healthy, or an all pro level player when healthy, or at least he has been his, in his career. He is a burner. And the thing that Washington lacked last year above everything else on offense, really across the roster, but on offense in particular, was speed. When Terry McLaurin went out, they just had no other deep threat. And even with McLaurin, you're talking about one guy. And as fast as Terry McLaurin is, Tyreek Hill is another level. This would be a really fascinating deal. Now, is Washington going to be the only team interested in him? Assuming that they are interested in him, of course not. Mike McDaniel, if he would be interested, Tyreek Hill's former coach in Miami, he went to the Chargers. That's another team that needs, you know, kind of similar deal. They need more help at receiver, I would say. You know, Quentin Johnston and Keenan Allen are fine, but they need more. And I think Justin Herbert, frankly, needs a little bit more help. But that's just one team besides Washington. He could be any one of these teams. And again, we don't even know when he's going to come back. He dislocated his knee, tore his ACL. You know, this is an injury that can last, you know, 9 to 12 months. And it sounds like he may be needing all of that time. So he could be, it may not be somebody ready to go and play for a team until I don't know when exactly. But the point is, all of a sudden, the free agent market just got a little more interesting at a position Washington needs. And then there's the other player that Miami released today. And somewhat, let's be clear, somewhat for similar reasons in terms of injuries and money and you know, stuff that, like, it's more of a name right now in terms of being who this player is than it is like, ooh, here we go, a guy coming off a great year or something like that. But his name is Bradley Chubb, former top 10 pick by the Denver Broncos, has been with Miami now for a couple years. He's only 29 years old, but again, he's been dealing with some injuries. But what does this team need the most on defense, and maybe most on the entire team? The one position that Adam Peters was gracious enough to say that he knows that the team needs more of, which is defensive end slash pass rusher, and that is Bradley Chubb. Now, Bradley Chubb missed the 2024 season. He did come back last year. He had 8.5 sacks. He played all game. So from that perspective, it looks like he's clearly reverse course here on where things were going. But again, this is not necessarily an ascending guy. You know, Washington needs to get younger across the board, and you know, they're going to have to spend some money. We heard Ian Rappaport the other day from NFL Network say he expects some quote unquote fireworks from Washington this offseason. We'll see about that. And look, again, whether or not Tyreek Hill or Bradley Chubb are in Washington's plans, at least the marketplace just got a little bit more crowded at a couple of positions that these guys need. That in and of itself is very, very interesting. And I want to hear from you guys on this at 800-636-1067. Are you in on these guys? Do you want Tyreek Hill? Do you think if they can only get one, that Bradley Chubb would be the better way to go? I mean, look, again, he's had, he's torn both of his ACL in both knees during his 8-year career, Bradley Chubb, that is. So there's, you know, some trepidation that comes with that. Of course, all NFL players likely at some point have dealt with a significant injury. It certainly feels like every player in Washington did last year, unfortunately. So we'll see. But I think at a minimum, this is the kind of news that you're going to want to hear about the NFL broadly over the next couple of weeks before the start of free agency. Again, it's not even so much whether Tyreek Hill or Bradley Chubb actually are interesting to Washington. It's at least now the field of options became a bit more crowded. Also, because they've been released, actually teams don't have to wait until the new league year starts. They could go out and sign these guys now. This isn't, you know, teams can't go out and sign Bobby Wagner, you know, or anybody else who's on Washington's free agent list until the new league year starts in March. These guys are available right now. What is, you know, does that mean they'll be signed quickly? No, not necessarily, but it means you have to be at least a little bit on the clock to pay attention to these guys. So we'll talk more about that. Again, I want to hear from you guys. 800-636-1067. I was in here yesterday with my guy Wes, and we were lamenting about the NBA All-Star Game weekend. The dunk contest on Saturday was a train wreck, per usual, if you didn't see it. And I think most of us were expecting the same for the actual All-Star Game itself. I was not watching it for the most part, in part because I was here. And then when I left here, I didn't exactly run home and turn the TV on to watch that. But all of a sudden, I was looking at Twitter, and I'm like, oh, okay. Seem to people be interested in this. And it wasn't the people that are usually just, you know, all in on, you know, the NBA no matter what. People who are willing to say, hey, this is a bad product when it is. And people were excited about what they saw. And enough that, to the point where I heard enough people say, boy, the NBA may have solved their problem. Now, whether that is true, time will tell. But the basic reason it seems to me like it worked, you did have the U.S. versus the world set up. If you'd missed it, they broke up the All-Stars into three different teams. Two teams were represented by U.S. players, and one team was represented by the world players. And it was a round robin, whichever two teams came out on top faced in the final. That happened to be the two U.S. teams. The one that had the younger players, essentially, Anthony Edwards was named MVP. The other team was like LeBron and Kevin Durant and Kawhi, who was pretty impressive, at least for one quarter. He had like 31 points in 12 minutes in one game. And people liked that. I think, to me, the little bit I saw, yeah, the international versus U.S. mattered. But because each quarter represented a game, it was essentially like a pickup game slash you could just kind of go for it, because it wasn't like, well, you're playing in the first quarter, you have a long way to go, why am I going to go hard here necessarily when it may not matter in a game that people are going to score 200 points. But in this instance, when it was like, okay, whoever wins this first game is automatically moving forward here, right? Or I shouldn't say automatically moving forward, but has a leg up to move forward. It did seem to give these guys a little bit of extra juice. And I do also think that a guy like Victor Wembanyama, who, you know, there was out talk last year, who's going to be the face of the NBA once we get past LeBron and Durant and Curry and all that. And I don't think that's something you can anoint. I think that's something that just happens organically. I think Victor Wembanyama is putting himself ahead in that discussion. Not only is he just an athletic freak at whatever he is, 7'5", but he can play like a three-man on the perimeter with his handle, with his shooting ability, and then, of course, he blocks whatever comes his way inside. But he plays with grit and attitude, and that is something that has been sorely lacking, at least in these kinds of moments. I'm not saying that it's lacking when we're talking about the playoffs or even in some parts of the regular season, but from a competitive standpoint, it's something that has been unique. It was unique to see, and we're going to talk more about that later on in the show. So again, you want to call in, talk about the Commanders, if Tyreek Hill or Bradley Chubb makes sense, 800-636-1067. Ben Standig, going to be with you here until, boy, 10 o'clock tonight. We got a lot to discuss. You got to help me out here. 800-636-1067. Ben Standig with you till 10 here on 106.7 The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Did Metal Chris just leave all these songs for you to play?
He did. He left his Metal Chris wake up riffs.
No, because so far Ozzy and GNR, I'm down with it. I was like, this is very distinctively one of the other board ops who I had the other day. I'm all down with it. I just didn't know if this was your MO or not. Welcome back to Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Ben Standing here with you until 10 o'clock. I was talking in the opening segment about how the Miami Dolphins just spiced up free agency a little bit today by releasing Tyreek Hill and Bradley Chubb. That's a wide receiver and defensive end or edge rusher. Those are probably the two top positions that Washington needs. Doesn't mean that they are ideal fits for the Commanders, but at the same time, hey, at least now there's more pieces in the marketplace, and hey, who knows? Maybe they will get there. We'll have to see. Tyreek Hill's dealing with injuries, but Bradley Chubb had a good year last year. Very interesting dynamic here on a Monday, and we've already got some calls coming in here. If you want to talk about this, 800-636-1067. We got Lap in D.C. who's got some thoughts on the Commanders. I don't know if you want to talk about Tyreek or Chubb, but Lap, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? Good work, man. You know I got to show you some love, man. You've been on the radio a little bit more now, so I got to break you into the
I appreciate it.
The team 981-1067 family. So yeah, keep up the good work, bro. For the team, man. Tyreek definitely is like, you know, intriguing, but it's just the off-field stuff and then the injury. You know what I'm saying? History been injured for a while, so it's kind of scary with that. I'm kind of open to the Brandon Ayuk, but like I said, if he can come back and ball out, I mean, we can get him for the cheap. You know, I know Brian Thomas' name's been coming up for trades, in the draft, if we could get Love or Tate, man, I mean, I know we need some defensive players, but I just feel that Jaden needs like a young piece that he can kind of build with, you know, with as a tight end, a running back, or a receiver, you know, something. And now, like, I know Terry, you know what I'm saying, I like Terry, but just the way everything went down, I don't trust Terry to be injured. I mean, I'm healthy now. He might be injured again. So I think we need to kind of, you know, get some young piece that he could build chemistry with, because when plays break down, like you look at, like, the 49ers, plays break down, they always can hit the tight end or the running back. You know what I'm saying? And we need that. I know we need to address the defense, but our offense is still our bread and butter. But we definitely need to address the defense, no doubt. But yeah.
You know, I do think, like, obviously we have all talked about that they've got to get more speed on offense. They need another receiver. I would prefer an outside receiver versus, say, a slot guy or a gadget guy like Deebo Samuel. But okay, whatever it is, they need more help. But I also think it's not just that they do need, I agree with you, to get somebody who is sort of Jaden Daniels' same timeline and have somebody that's going to be with him for the next several years. You know, whether Terry McLaurin is here for one more year or two more years, we'll see. It's not going to be for the duration of Jaden Daniels' time here. And if they can shore up some things in free agency, maybe that allows them to use the 7th pick overall on a receiver. I'm not saying that they should necessarily do that. They obviously have to get more help on defense. But if you can address some issues in free agency, I wouldn't have an issue with them taking a receiver. And that's where the question becomes, well, okay, does Brandon Ayuk, does that do something for you? Does Tyreek Hill, should he be healthy at a point? Does that work for you? Or are other guys in free agency? I think that's going to be really interesting for me. What about you?
Yeah, you're talking about with Tariq?
Yeah, no, I'm saying the idea of getting a veteran, but maybe drafting a rookie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I don't know how you feel about D-ball.
Hey, I appreciate it here. My apologies. We have to hit a break here in a second, but I appreciate that. Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure to see what they do. The idea of Tyreek Hill or Brandon Ayuk, if that's in fact, like, I mean, we're all talking about this. It doesn't mean that they are talking about this. I don't know if this is Sophie's choice, but like you said, Tyreek Hill, not only are there the injuries, he's had a bunch of off the field issues, allegations, whatever. Brandon Ayuk, like, also coming off a significant injury that kept him out all last year. And the relationship with the 49ers, Adam Peters' old organization, deteriorated to the point that the 49ers were like, you know what, dude, we just signed you an extension, but we're going to let you go. Kyle Shanahan was saying at the end of the year they hadn't even talked to him in forever. And yet this is kind of where we're at right now. There'll be other guys. And in a few weeks, we may have some different names. Right now, this is pure speculation across the board because, you know, the Commanders just finished factoring their coaching staff. The Super Bowl just happened, you know, relatively recently here. So everybody's still taking a breath from last year, moving forward. And so we've got a little bit time to go. My guy Wes here is a Texans guy. Do you have interest in Tyreek Hill or Brandon Ayuk?
I mean, the off-field issues are a problem. Now one thing I'll say, because I know people have mentioned distrust with Terry McLaurin after his injury. I mean, the thing is with football, you're going to have injuries. And that was one that was significant with him. I saw him play in college several times when he was at Ohio State. And, you know, there wasn't issues there. If you're not going to trust players because of injuries, then you can't trust Jaden Daniels.
Yeah,
you can't trust Mahomes.
100%. I think that was a big part. People were going nuts last year about Jaden Daniels being hurt. I'm like, guys get hurt. Just we'll have to see. And with Terry McLaurin, I'm not that worried about it. It was one injury he had over his career. He's otherwise been pretty much of an Iron Man. So we will see. All right, we've got more to go here. Ben standing with you till 10 o'clock here on 106.7 The Fan.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Perfect music here, some classic NFL music as we lead into a conversation here about the Commanders. Dan Quinn has obviously made some very bold choices here following the season, changing both coordinators, going with two first-time coordinators. I'm not saying this his entire career is at stake because of this or his head coaching career, but it's certainly he's putting a couple big matzo balls out there that he's going to have to hope work out, and I'm sure he has a lot of confidence in that. And I wanted to talk about that with our guy John Duran from WUSA. And this segment is brought to you by our friends at PVI Office. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. PVI brings you expert design, fast delivery, and professional installation. That's a winning play for your office. Step up your workspace at PVI, PVI.com, because business grows with PVI. And your insight into the Commanders is about to grow with John here. John, I appreciate the time on this Monday. The Commanders, you know what, I'm intrigued by your view of this, because you're somebody in your role at WUSA that gets to talk to Dan Quinn on a regular basis, all, you know, one-on-one, and that's, you know, could be a different deal. What do you kind of make of the way everything went down, that he decided to go down this route, not even necessarily changing coordinators, but going with two of these younger guys in Durante Jones and David Blough?
Yeah, Ben, thank you, first of all, for having me, and you got it right. I mean, this is taking a big swing with these two guys that are unproven in these roles. But he seems very confident in these guys for different reasons. And he said right away in his presser last week, everybody gets their first shot. Two very different paths. Blough, 2 years ago, was playing football. His first coaching job was the assistant quarterback's coach in 2024. And then with Tavita Pritchard leaving this year, gets kind of promoted right away. And then, oh my gosh, he's now the offensive coordinator. But what's interesting with him, DQ said, or Blough told us, that he felt right away there was a development plan for him. And when I spoke to DQ one-on-one after the press conferences, what he was excited about is his, I guess, ability to – he pointed out this past year he was in charge of running the opponent's scout team. So if it's Philly, you know, whoever, he ran the show, and that must have impressed him, DQ, a good amount. It's also what we heard from Durante Jones, because Jones and Blough overlapped in Minnesota in 2022. Jones, the DB coach, and Blough, the practice squad quarterback. But Jones was like, man, what impressed me was we didn't even give this guy play cards. He ran the scout team. He was getting guys lined up, getting the protection right. They just said, wow, this is what we're looking for. Now go make it happen. Give our defense the best look. And then Jones is obviously, I think his coaching career started in 2001. He's coached every level, high school, every level of college, NFL, and he's worked under some really good defensive minds. I mean, in Minnesota, obviously Brian Flores and Mike Zimmer, but he's also worked with like Marvin Jones, Vance Joseph. So this guy just has a wealth of knowledge. And what DQ told me in our one-on-one was he liked that. His different views. He's been all over the place. He's learned under different guys. And one thing that stuck out to me in our conversation about Durante Jones, DQ said he's the perfect guy to make the easy things, I'm sorry, the difficult things, the complicated things easier. And pointed out a couple guys, Mikey Sanders still, and Trey Amos is two guys he pointed out that he's like, I can't wait to see how they grow under his system. But Ben, I think he's just, he's confident. He's got a lot of faith in these guys. As you said, there's maybe some things riding on it with his career here in Washington. But I think he believes that this is just kind of a different than what we've seen the past couple years. And you know, obviously he's thinking things will be less complex maybe on both sides of the ball. But I think both sides of the ball are going to look much different this year.
Just to stay with the defensive side, this was, of course, the other day was our first chance to meet, hear from Durante Jones. I was impressed by his command up at the microphone with us. I mean, it's easy to sort of spout all the things you want to do to a group of reporters, you know, 6 months before week one or however many months it is. And that doesn't mean things will work out. But, hey, it, you know, first impressions count, and he gave a good one. And, you know, I think so much, we talk so much about play calling and all that, and massively important. No, don't get me wrong. But you also, this whole leader of men thing, you really do need to be a guy that the players are going to respect and listen to. And that's not nothing. He seems like he has that. When you had a chance to speak with him on the side, or just your first impressions, what do you kind of make of him from that perspective?
Yeah, I think he really cares about getting to know the person, you know, before the player or along, you know, the player. And I thought it was really interesting, and I followed up with him in our one-on-one, but in the press conference, someone asked, you know, when someone flips on a Commanders game, you know, what's going to be the identity? Like, what is Durante Jones' defense going to look like? And he said joy, which I thought was really interesting.
Yes.
It wasn't aggressive, you know, it was joy. It was, you know, we want our guys to have fun out there. We want, you know, guys to be selfless, celebrating big plays. And I asked him and DQ about that, you know, following the initial press conference, and yeah, but just like once you get guys to be selfless and having fun, maybe things are a little too thinking too much on the field. You know, people are play tight and things like that. So I think his approach there is unique. And I mean, it sounds good so far. And I know it's a lot easier to do than to talk about. But yeah, certainly an interesting but a good answer there from him.
We're talking with John Doran from WSA at John DoranTV on Twitter. I just noticed it says your location is probably somewhere cold. Yeah, that if you've been around here the last few weeks, that was certainly the case. At least I've started to see some grass show up now that we've had at least a little bit warmer temperatures here. So that is a good deal. Maybe you have to change your location there. He mentioned some of the players, it sounds like to you, and he also did in the press conference, Durante Jones. You know, the big thing obviously with this defense is we can talk till we're blue in the face about scheme, but they have got to get so much more talent across the board. Not to mention, like, even some guys that, you know, we might say, hey, should they bring back Bobby Wagner or Von Miller or whoever? Like, you got to, if you don't, you got to replace them as well. I assume edge rusher for you is probably a top need like it is for so many of us. But, like, who do you kind of look at this defense and think, boy, the way Durante Jones speaks and the way I've seen this guy play, that this could be a really interesting player in terms of somebody that maybe steps up and thrives in this new defense where joy is in play?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was you know, like I mentioned earlier, DQ, you know, mentioned Trey Amos and Mikey Sanders still, two young DBs he really wants to see grow under Durante Jones. But in the opening press conference, you know, he's preaching versatility. We want to maximize the you know, potential of our guys. We want to put them in the right place, make sure, you know, put them in a place they're going to be successful. And I remember I just asked him, hey, well, who are you excited to get on the grass with and see? Because, I mean, you haven't, you know, I'm sure you've watched a ton of film, but you know, it's much different to see him in person and out on the practice field. And the first name he said, which I think got a little traction on social media, was Quan Martin. And he mentioned Mikey Sanders still as well, two the young DBs that had a down 2025. But he, looks at those guys and says, well, maybe there's, something untapped there. Because I just thought it was interesting that he brought those guys up, obviously not a, I think he brought up Kinlaw as well, just guys that might be playing differently than how they have the past couple of years. And I mean, he had the great line too in his opening press conference, 4-3, 3-4, doesn't matter. It's not how you line up, it's how you wind up. I think we're going to see guys in different formations, I guess, if you will, this year. But I thought it was just interesting. He brought up those names.
Yeah, no, for sure. He definitely knew the players on the roster, so that was a good sign. He's done some homework. Good on that front. We'll see what that all plays out to. And, that's what's so funny is, I agree, that was a really good line. It's not where they line up, it's where they wind up. That is sort of the whole nature of what we're wondering about is, can this group be creative enough? I think the thing that was so frustrating last year, or maybe the last 2 years, injuries suck. We get it. And we also knew that they didn't have enough talent per se. But these are all NFL players. It doesn't seem like the drop-off should have been so dramatic that you couldn't figure out a way to be creative as a coach to sort of cover some things up. And during that 8-game losing streak, just a total, total mess. So if nothing else, I guess I'm intrigued to see what this guy can do in terms of getting more out of this defense. But I think it's also to the point of Dan Quinn. It's not Dan Quinn's defense anymore. He is now truly the CEO head coach. I just think that's so interesting in a year that he kind of needs to win, it feels like, that he's willing to say, we'll move off of my defense for somebody else's and see what happens. I think that's so interesting.
Yeah, here's the keys. We're trusting it in you. But I also think, too, so much that, that losing streak this last season, I mean, there were some times that it just looked like a totally, uninspired team, uninspired defense. We can talk about the game they played against Durante Jones in Minnesota, and I think you even brought it up.
Was that too blunt by saying, what did you guys talk about, 31-0?
Yeah, that one surprisingly did get brought up in the interview process. But, we'll see how he, I'm excited to see, what's your coaching style? Are you an energetic guy? Are you, vocal on the sidelines? Does it take that? We've talked about he's learned under so many good defensive minds. I'm excited to see what the end result is what we see through training camp and week one. That's going to be, something I'm really looking forward to seeing.
All right, Ben Standing here with you on 106.7 The Fans, with you till 10 o'clock. Right now we're talking Commanders with John Duran from WUSA. Let's switch over to the offense. I mentioned leader of men before, and yeah, of course, that's like all these terms, it gets overplayed, and I don't even know what it means half the time. But, again, it does matter. You've got to have to establish yourself, establish your credibility, show enough of these guys to believe in you. Durante Jones has been a coach for many years. He is in his 40s, right? He's going to be older than all the guys on defense. David Blough is 30. Now, he has been here the last 2 years, but he's only 2 years removed from playing. Some guys here were his, teammates. Jeff Driscoll, well, if he's back, but he was a teammate of his in Detroit. He will be younger than some of the guys he is with, Laremy Tunsil and some others. From a leader of men perspective, it's hard to say, but what's your read on that? He's definitely a low key guy, but that doesn't mean he's not a guy that commands the room. What's your read on him?
Yeah, I think, if he wasn't able to command a room, I don't think, DQ would go with him. And I think this year, even during the season, we'd ask DQ about David Blough. And I remember at some point he said something like, today we actually gave him, he broke down the team after a practice, and he spoke to the team in front of the, in front of the group in, the auditorium during training camp. So he's kind of like giving him little, DQ in our 101 called him extremely talented, and the guy, he knew right away he was going to be a fast riser. He's only a couple years away or seasons away, removed from playing. But I think that even helps, this thing, runs or doesn't through five. And David Blough has gotten really close with Jaden Daniels. And I think he has a vision for his development, but also, David Vlahos is going to be developing right there next to him. He's going to be different than Cliff. It's going to be maybe interesting to see him on the practice field taking more command, running his show. But I think we talked about Toronto Jones' initial press conference. I think David Vlahos was, maybe not super flashy. You're not getting the sound, the crazy sound bite, but I think he did a really nice job as well. And I'm excited to see how he leads this year.
Let me get you out of here on this. We know that they've got to bring in more weapons on offense. They've got to get more speed. The Miami Dolphins today released Tyreek Hill. He's dealing with an injury, coming off a significant injury, so we don't know when he'll be back and all that. But if he's back, if he's healthy, we're talking about one of the true game breakers in this league. He comes with some baggage, but he's out there. What's your read on Tyreek Hill? We know Brandon Ayuk is constantly mentioned. They could draft somebody. What do you kind of make of these options for a team that, like you said, it's all about Jaden Daniels, but you got to get him some more help?
Yeah, and You see the talent. I mean, Tyreek Hill is one of the top receivers in the NFL, and of course, that would be so much fun to see his burning speed play with Jaden Daniels. You're right. He does. He has had some issues with attention. On social media, posted things, maybe take away attention from things on the field. But I also don't think Ayuk as well. I don't care how talented you are. I don't think Dan Quinn's going to bring in someone that's going to distract from what's going on the field. And in our one-on-one with David Blau, a quote that kind of got picked up. It's funny. I was in the wide receivers meeting room when I talked to him. So I was like, hey, we're in the receiver room. How important are these guys going to be to your offense? And like, he mentioned blocking on the perimeter, springing big runs, but also this thing's going to go, This is going to be about, we need to get Terry 10 targets a game, which I don't know if is actually realistic, but it sends a message of like, look, this is our guy. This is our top playmaker on the offense. We need to make a better effort to get the ball in his hands. Of course, I'm not a cap expert, but I think the Commanders are in decent, if not good shape. So if one of those guys, if it works out, I think in the character message meshes with what's going on here in Washington. I think it's hard not to maybe pull the trigger on one of those guys. And we know how close Jaden and Ayuk are playing in Arizona at Arizona State together.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, John, I really appreciate the time. Great stuff there. Good insight, and look forward to catching up with you next time we all reconvene. And you, of course, John Lowe's gets one-on-ones with Dan Quinn with WSA, so you can check that out as well. John, look forward to talking again down the line. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, John Duran with WUSA. It's going to be, again, fascinating to see how all of this plays out with these first-time coordinators. We'll get to the Tyreek Hills of the world. And we do want to talk about that with you guys next at 800-636-1067. I need to hear from you guys. Let's just say Tyreek Hill is healthy sooner than later. Do you want that guy coming in? He's on the wrong end of over 30. We know Adam Peters may not necessarily love the receivers hitting that age, but he has proven to be one of the best receivers in the league when healthy. But, we'll see where he is coming off that injury. But then you got the Brandon Ayuk aspect with Jaden Daniels, the draft, a lot of ways to go. Which way do you think is the best way to go? 800-636-1067. I'm here until 10 o'clock with you. We cool, Wes? You got a thought here? You want to weigh in after the break? All right, Wes is going to weigh in after the break on this. Ben standing with you till 10 here on 106.7 The Fan. Now, this is definitely not Metal Chris's choice.
No, it is not.
Definitely not. all right. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. Ben standing here with you until 10 o'clock. And talking a little bit about the Commanders, as you might imagine, since that is my day job. But also, there was some NFL news today that is related to them, or at least to free agency, because the Miami Dolphins released a few players today, notably wide receiver Tyreek Hill, edge rusher Bradley Chubb. These two guys play positions that we know Washington needs. Maybe it makes sense for the Commanders to go in and grab these guys. They don't have to wait for the start of free agency to do so. If nothing else, though, it adds more players to the free agency. And Washington has a lot of cap space, but so do other teams. So they're going to need other teams to maybe spend elsewhere so Washington can get where they want to go, and we'll see about that. But the question is, do you like Tyreek Hill? Older guy, coming off a significant injury. We don't know when he's going to play, but we know he's got the world-class speed. You've also got Brandon Ayuk. That's out there. Another guy, top-notch receiver, coming off an injury. Both guys have some off-the-field issues to varying degrees. There's also the draft. What for you, if Washington has got to get more help on offense for Jaden Daniels, which way would you go? I'm taking your calls, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Pat is on the line. He wants to talk about the Commanders. Pat, what's going on? What's going on in your mind?
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I like Pierce myself from Indianapolis.
Alec Pierce.
If they don't franchise him, and I go after IU before I would Tyreek Hill. I'm gonna stay away from him. And you know, when we got that seventh pick, man, you know, it's going to be hard come time if they keep the pick. And Jeremiah Love's still there, man, because I think that guy is going to be a beast in the NFL, man. Have a good one.
Thanks. I appreciate the call. He mentions Alec Pierce is sort of the – I guess he's like the top guy. Maybe Wes, if you got a sec to look up like a list of like top free agents. I think Alec Pierce is probably mentioned up there. He's an interesting one. His stats, his yards per catch are outrageous. Last year, 2025, 21.3 yards per catch. In 2024, 22.3 yards per catch. He got a combined 13 touchdowns. He had 1,000 yards this year, but just over 1,000 yards. But he doesn't have a ton of catches. 47 catches this year, 37 the year before. You know, I know we missed a little bit of time here and there with some injuries. He's not what I would say like a number one receiver. Somebody mentioned this the other day when I was hosting. They mentioned DeSean Jackson, and I think that's a really interesting comp. They're very different stylistic differences. Alec, you know, we know what DeSean Jackson was. You know, waterbug, speedster guy, could make plays. But it was mostly downfield plays, and not a lot in terms of like your sort of meat and potatoes type pass calls. You weren't going to DeSean Jackson, I should say, on like 3rd and 8, right? Alec Pierce is 6'3", 211, very different build, but still it's kind of the same deal. He's not a guy who, like I would say, is a wide receiver one. So this is a team that needs size. They need downfield ability. He's got all that. I just worry if the price isn't going to be too much for someone who is, again, not necessarily like a go-to guy. But look, the Colts, as we know, if you've paid attention to the NFL, it's not like they've been locked in a quarterback the last few years that Pierce has been there. Pierce came into the league in 2022. This is the end of his rookie contract. Their quarterback situation has been fairly bleak, or at least inconsistent all that time. So maybe it's different if he's playing with Jaden Daniels versus, Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones was having a good year last year before his injury, or, you know, Phillip Rivers, all those things. So I don't know that Alec Pierce is for me based on the cost, but based on the production, what he does, it is very much what they need, size and a downfield threat. I wouldn't have an issue from those perspectives. I just have a feeling he's going to get expensive. I also think, as Pat mentioned, I think there's a decent chance that the Colts find a way to keep him. You know, the Colts last year traded away as part of the deal to get Sauce Gardner. They traded away Adonai Mitchell, who was a second-round pick for them. You know, so if you're trading away a second-round pick, of course that was to get Sauce Gardner. They gave up 2 firsts as well. But I think it's also saying we like other pieces that we have here. We're willing to take this chance, a guy who we liked enough to just, you know, take in day 2 to move on. So I think they're going to figure out a way to keep Alec Pierce would be my guess. And again, we know the Colts have quarterback questions of their own with Daniel Jones coming off an Achilles injury. So I don't know that he'll even be available, but if he is, it's going to be interesting. Again, now here's the thing, and Wes, I'm curious what you think. Alec Pierce is a little bit of like a cleaner sheet across the board. You know, the injuries haven't been terribly significant. Like I said, the yards per catch, pretty outrageous. He led the league last 2 years. But if you compare it to, say, Brandon Ayuk, based on what we've seen when he's healthy, is closer to being a number one receiver. I'm not even getting into he knows Jaden Daniels, he knows Adam Peters, all that stuff. So all things being equal, I think Ayuk is closer to being that top receiver. And I get that Terry McLaurin is the number one, but like somebody else to have like that, but he comes with more baggage. And so that's where I think there's like that going to be that difference, which he'll be cheaper also. So you got to factor in which guy would you think makes more sense?
Man, Alec Pierce to me, he's 25 years old, had 1,000-yard season. He's young. I do think that the Colts will have the edge. So you're going to have to shove out a good amount of money for him. Now, if you look at a lot of these teams and the Chiefs come to mind, you know, Hollywood Brown was their wide receiver three, and he was a dog. Like, he was really good. You know, like you're saying, Terry McLaurin's obviously going to be the number one guy. Anyway, I was looking at top 25, you know, free agents, and it's like, where do the Commanders fit with these players? Travis Etienne is a guy on the list, but I think he stays with the Jags. I mean, he's played with Trevor Lawrence since he's been 18 years old. You know, you have Bradley Chubb, like you talked about. Romeo Doubs is on that list. Mike Evans, to me, is a little too old. Now, the thing is, what the Commander fans need to realize is, do you want to have a year like, you know, like 2 years ago when they beat the Lions, lost to the Eagles? Do you want to have like a coin flip like that season? You know, you got veteran guys who are, you know, end of their prime, but, you know, have that presence to win a Super Bowl, and then the next year be terrible? Or do you want to develop guys and take the risk? Because, I mean, at some point, you can't just, it's almost like it's college football. You can't just go out and get 24-year-olds like in college football, just like with the NFL. You can't get 34-year-olds like they did this year, and they did that, end up being one of the worst teams in the NFL. So.
Yeah. No, look, it's so funny. They came in talking about they want to build through the draft. And, you know, the first year there were at least signs of that. They didn't sign too many guys to crazy contracts or things like that. But then the next year, starting with, you know, at the trade deadline of 24, they trade picks to get Marshawn Lattimore. They then trade a fifth-round pick for Deebo Samuel. They trade multiple picks for Laremy Tunsil. I'm not even arguing. Tunsil, I think, was a really good deal. And Deebo, fine. Lattimore obviously wasn't great. But that's going away from your belief of like, hey, we need to build through the draft. And now they're in this position of they only have, you know, two picks in the top 100. So much of this conversation about what they should do at receiver or not would be so much easier if they had a second round pick, right? Because you could just say, well, at 7, you take the pass rusher or Caleb Downs, the safety from Ohio State, and then you get a receiver on day 2.
I would actually, if I'm the Commanders, Christian Kirk is a free agent. I don't think the Texans are going to want him back. They're going to look for, you know, a little bit more talent for CJ. The Commanders, to me, seem like a good spot for them. I mean, I think they'll have to give him $18 million, but I think he would fit. I mean, Jalen Lane, you know, I was, you know, at Virginia Tech with him, hoping he kind of grows a little bit more than he did this year. But Christian Kirk, I would keep that name in mind for the Commanders.
Is Christian Kirk last year, based on his size, I view him as a slot guy more than an outside guy, but I think he can play both.
He had to play both because of so many injuries on the outside for the Commanders, Texans, like Tank Dell and Nico Collins.
Right. So that to me is like in terms of like Washington, and again, if you want to weigh in here, 800-636-1067, Jalen Lane, at least last year, was not good enough to play on the outside, which is completely reasonable. He's not the biggest guy in the world. We know the speed is there. You saw that on the two returns that he had for touchdowns, but he needs to play more in the slot, and they had Deebo Samuel blocking him. So I think it's interesting. They're going to have to decide, do we think he is ready to emerge? Not saying he has to play, you know, every down per se, but is he ready to step up? Because if he is, then I don't really want to block him, and Christian Kirk, a guy like that, would probably be more effective in the slot. So that becomes interesting. I'm not saying what your suggestion is wrong. It just comes down to, what do they view of Jalen Lane? Do they think, because we talk about speed, there's a guy sitting right there who ran a 4.3 40. in, you know, at his combine, at the combine. So that guy could be super duper interesting, but based on what we saw last year, can you rely on it? Sort of like the same thing happened the year before with Luke McCaffrey. Luke McCaffrey made plays at times, but it wasn't consistent enough. I think last year they were hoping that he would be able to step up if needed. Unfortunately, that just wasn't the case. He wasn't really ready to take on a larger role, even if he had some plays to make. So that's going to be a real interesting read for them about how much do they trust these young guys to step up.
I got a question for you that you might be able to answer, because I feel like over and over again, like on this channel, you know, we were talking about why is Jalen Lane and like Luke McCaffrey and those young guys. I mean, the Commanders were out of the playoffs what felt like week 8. You know, so why not develop someone like Jalen Lane as much as you could during the season? And it didn't seem like they wanted to do that. So I'm curious, and that makes me question his development of what they saw, you know, in practice. So is it you sticking with him on special teams and trying to get a, you know, wide receiver 2 to match up with Terry McLaurin?
Well, I think you make a great point. It wasn't just him, though. It was all their younger guys. I even asked
even on the defense.
What's that?
Even on the defensive side as well, they didn't play.
Yeah, no, this was a thing. To the point, I even asked Dan Quinn a question last year that actually is very, very pertinent to this. In fact, why don't we do this? Why don't we get to that and talk more about some of these younger guys after the break at 800-636-1067. Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, a receiver at 7. Which way would you want to go? Do you want to make sure you leave room open for Jalen Lane or Luke McCaffrey to develop? I think it's really interesting. Give us a call, 800-636-1067. Ben Standing with you until 10 o'clock on Overtime. All right, we are watching. We've got curling here on in the studio, and two guys here who don't know really anything about the sport other than we watch it every 4 years. And Wes's observation was that we're watching U.S. Italy, the women's play. And Wes, your takeaway was what?
They're terrible. I mean, this is the worst curling I've ever seen, because I don't know if it was yesterday curling was on. You know, we were here at night, and at least they were getting into the circle. You know, it's like a white, it's a blue. I think there's like a different color that's, you know, it's like the bullseye. And at least they were getting it within, you know, they're getting points, I guess. That's how they score it. I mean, these guys are I guess it's a women and men's team. I don't know. They're terrible. I mean, look at that. They don't even get to the blue. I mean, I feel like I've never seen that before. There's like six of these shots where they haven't even made it to the circle, and a couple of them have thrown it too hard.
Well, some of them I would think that like leaving it up high, there was like, you know, you have to now navigate around that.
So I maybe guess
there's some defensive aspect to it, but yeah, I mean,
well, I guess the ones that they overshot, because there's ones that they just hit the back padding. It's like, well, that doesn't do anything, at least for defense.
I mean, look, let's just be real. I would never criticize any skier or the bobsledders or any of these things that are going like crazy fast that I could never do. And if I did, I would probably, you know, kill myself.
One thing I have noticed is, you know, they'll give their teammate a high five. A lot of these, they walk off and just go to the side, and they just have not a frown, but just a straight face. I'm like, okay, then that did not go well for them. And it's been a ton of these.
Right. But I'm saying, like, in general, we all have the feeling with curling.
Oh, yeah.
That if we got our buddies together and you gave us 3 months to figure out what is going on, that we could do it, which is obviously stupid.
Okay, see. Oh, well, now they actually lost points on that, because they hit two of their own, I guess, I don't know if you call them pins, or out of the circle.
I don't know. I mean, there's nothing better than people who don't know what they're talking about commenting on the sport. But yes, they
actually had one in the green.
Right. I mean, basically, this is like a fancier way of shuffleboard that, you know, I've played a million times as a kid. So you get the idea of, like, you know, you maybe want to block, put up a defensive perimeter if you have some stuff in there, but you don't want to knock it off yourself. That was not very, I'm with you there. It didn't seem very good, but what do we know? What we do know, though, is that the Commanders need some help this offseason all over the place, but particularly at wide receiver. We've been talking out throughout this hour that the Miami Dolphins today announced that they were releasing Tyreek Hill. A fully healthy version of Tyreek Hill is a frightening player in this league. Crazy speed, maybe the fastest player in the league, but he's also coming off a significant injury, torn ACL, dislocated kneecap. We don't know when he'll be back, but he is out there. Brandon Ayuk, we believe, is going to be available. We know about the ties here between Jaden Daniels and Adam Peters. The Commanders have the 7th pick in the draft. That could be a way to get some more help, and we're discussing here at 800-636-1067, the best options for Washington, West throughout Christian Kirk as a candidate. I think Romeo Doubs from the Green Bay Packers to me is like the one I keep going to as a pretty good guy. He could settle in as a nice number two. He's got speed. He makes plays. I don't know if he's like a true number one, but also at the same point, the cost won't be for that. And that may be a good value play. I always talk about the value. You never know. So all it takes is one team to offer a crazy contract. I mean, did any of us think that De'Ami Brown was going to get 1 year, $10 million, even necessarily after the playoffs? In 2024? Certainly not before. But he had a great few weeks, was worthy of getting that money from Jacksonville, but now he's a free agent, and my guess is he'll be available. And by the way, that's a name I've talked about as well. I know Dan Quinn really liked De'Ami Brown, the competitor, beyond the receiver. He should be relatively cheap. Maybe you go down that route, but again, that's not that. That's just sort of like a role player. That's not a true starter opposite McLaurin that they lacked last year. So we will have to see where they go on this one. We talked about this when Wes and I were together yesterday. He's an Ohio State guy. That Carnell Tate, one of the top receivers in this draft class, will be there for Washington at 7, or at least he could be there at 7. On the surface, you would say, Ben, what are we talking about here? You got to take defense. I'm totally with you all on that. But if free agency goes a certain way, the Dolphins released Bradley Chubb today. That's an edge rusher Washington could use. You know, whoever else you want to talk about, Trey Hendrickson, Jalen Phillips, there's guys who are out there. If they address that need in free agency, then maybe you can go at receiver. I don't have an objection, though, to them taking a young receiver to build with Jaden Daniels. These 30-year-old guys, it may help a lot this year, this coming season, but they won't be there with Jaden Daniels in 2 and 3 and 4 years. And that's what you want to see. You want to see that chemistry develop over time. So that is why drafting a receiver is not the worst way to go. This is where I mentioned they don't have a second-round pick and they don't have a fourth-round pick, and that's where it gets a little bit tricky. What do you, if we say that they... Well, I guess, what do you view of the importance of getting, because you're a Texans guy, CJ Stroud, you know, Nico Collins is, you know, they're relatively in the same kind of time frame, right?
Yep.
Nico Collins has developed into one of the top receivers in the league. CJ's got his own issues, but in terms of having a player to develop with, he's got one there. If Tank Dell's able to come back from his significant injury, that will be another guy. I think that's important. But you also have to fix the defense.
Right. And one thing I'll point out in terms of CJ is, because there is a report that, you know, teams are looking to, you know, trade for him. I think that'd be crazy for Houston. You know, the quarterback is the hardest
you can't trade
position exactly to develop. How many quarterbacks? He's on pace to have more wins than John Elway. He's won 10 games, 11, then 12. Obviously, the defense is really good, but, I mean, in order to win a Super Bowl, you have to have a defense. We saw it this year. The right side of his O-line is one of the worst. He's been pressured almost more than anyone. I think Caleb Williams, gets that nod. So the Texans was really good with Tank Dell, and they were good with Diggs. But for the Commanders' purposes, you know, if they go crazy, and I think Ian Rapoport is expecting – fireworks from the Commanders in terms of spending money in this offseason. If they do that for defense, you're getting proven guys. If there's not somebody you want, you know, if Downs is taken, Reuben Bain's taken, Oliver Reese is projected number two. I mean, there is a ton of talent on the defensive side more than the offensive side. If you want to take Carnell Tate because you feel satisfied with your rookies or your second years on the team already, and your free agents, then, I mean, if you want two Ohio State wide receivers, it's wide receiver you for a reason. and go ahead. At least for my purposes, yeah. I would enjoy watching that. I still don't think they should do it.
The thing, and people who've listened to me know, whether it's at my Substack, Last Man Standing, or the podcast of the same name, have known that I've said for years rather loudly that I do not have any interest in spending, like, say, $20 million on two different receivers, right? I get why the Cincinnati Bengals did it with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, but they drafted both of those guys. The point of the draft is if you have these players, you want to keep them. I'm not going to spend $20 million on a free agent knowing that we have Terry McLaurin here for, you know, $20-plus million as well. Because the wide receiver position, as important as it is, it's a very dependent one. On a given play, you know, on a given game, the best receivers might get six catches, right? Whereas a running back is going to touch the ball 15 to 20 times. They are not necessarily involved in every single play because if the play is between the tackles, right, they're not really involved. But the difference is that with C.J. Stroud, I think the question you have to ask for the Texans is he a guy that can carry the offense? It looked like he was maybe that guy the first year. It hasn't looked as strong in that direction since then. Jaden Daniels, the first year, that with despite, other than Terry McLaurin, you know, he's throwing to Noah Brown, Deombi Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, Zach Ertz coming off a bunch of injuries. Like, that was not exactly a robust group, and yet they were one of the top offenses. It looks like Jaden Daniels could be a guy that elevates good players to having even better years, which is why you don't necessarily have to spend a ton on him, a ton of receivers. But we'll have to see that. That's my assumption. I still believe that, despite the fact that this year was obviously a mess because of the injuries primarily. Although the offense, even with Jaden, never really hit those heights that we saw in 2024. But again, Terry McLaurin, how much longer is he going to be here? Another year, maybe two? Who is the young receiver to develop with Daniel? So I don't have an issue if they draft a receiver in round one. I have a bigger issue if they spend a ton of money on a free agent on top of McLaurin. That's where I struggle. That's where I have an issue with. But again, it depends. They definitely think Jaden Daniels is the quote-unquote franchise quarterback who can lift the offense. Again, with Houston, not that this is a Houston sports radio show, but you know, look,
well, CJ, those are two good examples.
CJ was, of course, Jaden was obviously compared a lot to CJ Stroud coming in, the number two pick, and CJ had a great year. So the comparison is fair. That, I think, is maybe the difference right now where these two quarterbacks are viewed.
And the Commanders don't want to copy-paste what the coaching malpractice that the Texans, at least how I describe it, with the lack of veteran presence that CJ had with the quarterbacks. I mean, he didn't even have a guy like Marcus Mariota with him. You know, he had Davis Mills, who hasn't got a lot of playing time. And for Jaden Daniels, like you said, Terry McLaurin, let's say he's going to enter the year this year at 30, and then he'll be 31, I believe, in the middle of the season. He only has so many years left. You know, you're talking about, you know, if he's 34, that might be his last year, and or 33, really.
He'll turn 31 in September. So, I mean, look, injury aside, which I can't completely dismiss, but he's not had injuries throughout his career, he still looked great. In fact, I would argue that last year showed how good he actually is, because once he went out, the passing game faded, and when he played, for the most part, he looked really good. So, the value is there. How much longer he'll be here is the question.
Right. And that's, and it's an issue because, and that's what was crazy to me when they had that holdout with him. I'm like, if you see this team without Terry McLaurin, I mean, it's almost nothing. You saw what he did against Dallas in that magical year, Terry McLaurin, the Buccaneers, that Lions touchdown for what was like 70 yards. He is one of the top receivers in the NFL, and that's why he deserved $30 million. I mean, that is the quota and the almost pretty much the minimum for a receiver like him. George Pickens, I believe, got 34. So a guy getting like George Pickens, that would be a waste of money because you already have Terry McLaurin, one of the best receivers. So I would like to see like a Hollywood Brown. I mentioned his name earlier, where maybe he can play slot. He can be on the outside. You know, when Terry McLaurin is on the sideline for a few plays, just around the field. Because, I mean, JSN, you saw him, he Offensive Player of the Year. He was in the backfield even at times for the Seahawks. And one of the reasons why they won the Super Bowl, you go back to the defense, they had, if the first or second best defense if it wasn't Houston. And that's the reason why they got to the Super Bowl. I mean, Sam Darnold had his issues, but he also just was able to play the system right.
Yeah. No, but you make a good point. And I just looked up really quick, and we're going to take a break here, but we'll talk more about the Commanders. But McLaurin this year, I mean, he's good. In going into 2027, he's $18 million dead money, $16 million you would save by releasing him. So that's still not ideal, but that's an opportunity for them if they want to do it. But he also has a $34 million cap hit in 2027, which is a pretty sizable one. So we will see. But again, that you got to get help for Jaden Daniels, but you also need a running mate for him long term. And that's where it's going to be an interesting decision here for Adam Peters. What do you think, Wes? Should we go hit the break now and come back at the top of the hour?
We got one more minute. I have a question. What do you think about Breece Hall? Do you think he's too expensive? Do you think, you know, obviously he's a running back. I think, you know, Bill's great, but, you know, people describe him as an RB2. Breece Hall would be an RB, you know, running back one. What do you think?
So my basic rule on running backs is I don't want to make that expense unless it's sort of the missing piece. You know, it's so funny. People make tons of fun of the Giants, right, for losing Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, even though from a pure logic perspective, it wasn't the dumbest move. The Giants were not a running back away from contending. It just, he was a fan favorite, so there was some of those elements as well. The Eagles, for years, did not spend on running back until they decided, oh, wait, this guy's out there. With him, we are over the top. Obviously, that was a correct strategy. I don't look at Washington and think they are a running back away. I mean, if you tell me that the defense is going to be that much better with the new coordinator and they bring in some players, okay. But as it stands today, I don't think they're a running back away. I would rather roll the dice with Bill Krosky Merritt. Maybe you can bring Chris Rodriguez back. He's a restricted free agent. If not Jeremy McNichols, you add somebody that can give you a little more pass catching and then spend your money elsewhere. I think they have enough at running back where I don't want to go that route. But obviously, Breece Hall should get a lot of interest in the league. He is the type of player that they could use. If they were coming off the 2024 season, that would be interesting for me. Coming off of 5-12, I don't know. I don't want to go there. I'm going to have the same issue with Jeremiah Love probably too. As good as he is as a prospect, if he's there at 7, I just don't think Washington can justify taking a little bit of a luxury pick when they have got so many other things that they're going to need to do. All right, we are here with you until 10 o'clock. We're going to talk more Commanders in the next hour. We'll get to the Wizards and the NBA All-Star Weekend in the 9 o'clock hour. Ben standing here with you until 10 o'clock on 106.7 The Fan.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.